Welcome to Conscious TV with Tom and Ramon, and I'll go over a couple of quick things here. I want everybody to make sure that they visit our website and check out all the interesting things we've got going on there. I want to welcome Croatia and Israel to our listening audience, a couple ones that we've added this week. Things are still growing steadily, aren't they, Ramon?
Yes, they are. Every way,
yeah, it's pretty surprising. Yeah, both Ramon and I have had some pretty remarkable growth, our personal growth, out of doing this show. So, I want to send my deepest and greatest gratitude to all you people who are listening to us, and those who've thrown donations. Oh my God, thank you so much. Now, we expect nothing and are extremely let me say this right. We expect nothing, and we are extremely grateful for everything that we get. So thank you all. I guess that's about it. Hey, Ramon, so who have we got tonight?
We got somebody very special that me and Tom met this summer over at ESETI. And before I introduce him, I just want to say really quickly, I had a really wild night last night with crazy out-of-body experience. I'm not going to go into it today, but it definitely kicks off for our next guest. So I would say please be open-minded with his stories and do your own research. So Billy Willingham was born in Akron, Ohio in the year 1952.
That's Akron.
Akron. Thank you. Since birth, he has had experiences of past life and contact. His ET experience started at the age of 13. At this time, he was abducted and continued to have contact. These experiences involve both on- and off-world experiences. He studied shamanism 21 years with Ken Littlefish of the, let me see if I pronounce this right, Anishinaabe Nation. Thank you, Anishinaabe. He is a pipe carrier, and he carries a fireplace known as the Mound of Man. He is of the Bear Nation. He also is in line to receive another fireplace known as Morning Water. In this, they use peyote. He is to be a priest of the Native American Church. Billy studied with the Rosicrucian Order in San Jose for 28 years. In this organization, he also became a Martinist, the founder of being Juan Cloud de Saint Martin. Billy is also a student of the RSE and Rampta School of Enlightenment, has been in Rhymes teaching since 1985. Billy has had contact with 5 to 6 different species. Even to this day, Billy continues to have contact. Billy, welcome to the show. How are you?
Well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing really good right now.
Good, good. I was listening to your story to Tom. Yeah, this stuff is really trippy.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, for me it's only beginning. For me it's only beginning, but you're an experienced one. So let's start off with your childhood. You were 13 years old.
When I was 13?
Yeah, that was your first experience, right?
Just give us a lead up. What got you started, Billy?
Like I said, like Ramon said, I was born in Akron, and from my earliest memory, my parents. My mom, my father died when I was 5, and he wasn't around that much, but I remember them taking me to church. They were Pentecostal, and I remember sitting in church, and I could see into 2 or 3 different worlds. I could see the physical people sitting there in their pews, but then there were other beings walking around. I don't know how to explain that. It would be like seeing a ghost, kind of like it. You know what I mean? You see another dimension. So I've lived in like 3 different worlds. And even as a young kid, I had memories of being born and coming here. And these are things that you just don't talk to people about because they don't accept it. You know, so it was really difficult dealing with some of this stuff. You know, I remember off-world memories, even when I was a kid. But living in this world, you try to, you know, you want to fit in, but you just don't because what you're experiencing, the people around you aren't. So I learned to just be quiet. And don't say anything. As I got older and went into like grade school and stuff like that, I would look at maps of the world, and none of those maps looked like anything that I remembered. It was like I was seeing a whole world that had changed. It was like I would look at a map, and you would see Africa, Asia, China, all these different places, but the memory I had was that there was one big landmass. There were a few lakes and rivers and stuff like that, but it wasn't, the world didn't look anything like I remembered. And I remembered coming here because I thought this world was full of love and people really cared about one another. And then around 4 or 5, I began to realize that this wasn't what was going on. It really hurted. I wanted to go back home because I knew I wasn't from here. I had chosen to come here. And it's with a child's mind. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
And so the rest of my life, okay, I was taken when I was 5, taken down to Alabama. And when I moved down there, that's when I started hearing voices would call my name. I'd be in my room. I'm the only child. And I'd be playing in my room by myself, and I would hear people call my name. And I would go, what? What do you want? What do you want? I would run to the window, look outside. Nobody was outside. I was listening to the walls. There was nobody there. And then this one day, I went and asked my mom. I said, what's going on? I'm hearing these voices. Did you call me? She said, no. I said, well, I'm hearing voices. She said, well, those are spirits. Well, by that time, I had been indoctrinated into church, right? According to what the Bible was saying, the spirits always say, I'm from the Lord, fear not. Well, these voices weren't doing that. You know what I mean?
Right. So did you explain to your mom exactly what the voices were saying and stuff?
No, at that time, after I had moved from Ohio, my family there was Pentecostal. Now I'm in the South, Southern Baptist, Hellfire Brimstone.
Right, right.
You know? And a few people that I did tell my experience about, it scared them. They didn't want to have anything to do with them. So I never brought this up to my mom at that time. I just kept it all to myself, and I was trying to figure it out what was going on. I had some psychokinetic experiences where I would get mad, angry. I remember just one time I went into my bedroom. I was really angry, and I had a TV set in my room. And I looked at the TV, and I said, turn down. The volume actually turned down. And I looked across the room, and I had a set of books over there, and I said, move, telepathically. Not with words, but with my mind. The books shot across the room.
How old were you at this time?
I was about 8 or 9, about that time, that I had these experiences. And again, there was no one around I could talk to about it. So I'm having these experiences using the Bible to try to explain it. You know what I mean? Because that's what I was given. This stuff was totally off the wall. You know what I mean? And none of my friends were talking about it. None of them were sharing any experiences with me. But I know what I was experiencing. And it scared me because it was like I had this fear that maybe I could think a thought I could hurt somebody, you know, cause them pain or cause them death or something like that. So I kept most of it to myself. And then when I was around 13, I had gone to the store. At that time, I was carrying like BB guns, you know, doing target practice. I wanted to be the Daisy target champion, you know.
Right.
And I was hanging out with my friends. None of us had BBs, so I went to the store to get some BBs. And on the way back home on my bicycle, I heard this humming sound. It was kind of like, ooh, like that. I'm trying to figure out where this is coming from because where I lived, we were surrounded by projects. There were what we call the old projects and the new projects. And where I lived was in the center. We lived in a 7-room brick home. And I guess you would call it a residential area. And I got off my bicycle and I looked up and I saw a triangular craft. Solid black, triangular shape. Don't ask me the distance. I just know it was there. I'm sitting here and I'm looking at it. And I would take a few steps forward. It would move with me. I would take a few steps back. It would move. I moved left. It moved left. I moved right. It moved right. And it scared me. So then I ran across the street because there was this grove of pecan trees, and I hid underneath these trees. And the next thing I remember was that it was completely silent. There were no cars. There were no sounds of cars. There was no sound of dogs barking, children laughing, doors singing, because I'm in a congested area. There was absolutely no sound. None.
So do you think that you were probably put in some kind of bubble maybe? This is not first
it's
time.
Possible.
This is not the first time me and Tom hears something like this.
Yes, I don't know if I was in a bubble or. Well, one thing I'm going to say, I am now coming to understand that we are truly multidimensional beings, and these extraterrestrials have a way of shielding you and pulling you out of this reality. Even though you think you're conscious, and you're experiencing these things, you're actually in another time flow. Because as I was sitting here and I was paying attention to the stuff around me, it was like there was, like I said, there was no sound, and there were always sound. There were always a sound of cars, dogs barking, birds in the trees, even the wind, you know. There was nothing. And then all of a sudden, there was like a pop, and all the sound came back. And I would say maybe a week, maybe a couple of weeks later, I had my mom had gotten me a German Shepherd, short-haired German Shepherd. And this was like my best friend. You know, he slept in the room with me. He went everywhere with me. This was my buddy. And I was laying in bed watching TV. And all of a sudden, the dog jumped up on the bed and started growling at the window. And every hair on his body was standing straight out. Straight out. And then all of a sudden, the dog yiped and ran under the bed. I'm going, what the heck is out here? My dog's not scared of anything. What is out there? So I turned the bedroom lights on, and I went to the curtain, and I looked outside, and what I saw were little beings about, I would say, 3-4 foot tall, big heads. I thought they were skeletons because their body was so thin, big black eye sockets. They didn't have lips. They didn't have nose. There were like 15, 20 of these things standing outside my window looking up in my bedroom. And I kind of freaked out, shut the curtains, pinned myself up against the wall, and I'm not going to tell anybody about this. I can't tell them this, you know, because maybe I'm going nuts, you know?
Yeah. Around what year was this?
This was around, about 65, 66.
Okay.
And then next thing I know, I woke up in my bed, fully dressed. I don't know how I got there. I'm fully dressed, laying in my bed, and I'm facing the window. I'm on my right side. And I'm still, like, in a daze trying to figure out what just happened. And I rolled over, and my dog was sitting there, and he kind of scared me. And after that, the next moment I remember is my mom, you know, my mom used to turn the mattresses over to air them out. She came in my room and said, Billy, what's all this blood on your pillow? She said, you got blood all over your bed. It's all over your sheets. It's over your blankets. It's everywhere. Where is this blood coming from? And I went and looked, and sure enough, there was blood all over the place. And I went in the bathroom. I looked at my gums, my lips, checked my head to see if I had hurt myself. I had no cuts. I had no bruises, no nothing. I could not understand where that blood came from. I just could not. And then after that, I was hunting. I went out hunting with my gun. And I'm going down this road. And then all of a sudden I hear a voice that says, Billy. And I turn to my right, and there was this log laying across a trail. I saw these paws, like a dog's paw or an animal's paw. And I saw this head that kind of looked like a fox, and he even had the ears. And I wanted to know what that thing was because I've been in there many times. I've never seen that before. I don't even remember that log being there. And I said, okay, I'm going to scare it out of there. So I took my gun and I shot at the log to scare it, make it run. Well, it got up and it ran, and it ran on two legs. It had a big fox tail, a hairy body like a fox, ears like a fox, but it ran on two legs like a human. And for some reason, I decided to chase it. And I ran after it. It ducked to the right, went inside what I thought were bushes. So I ran in the bushes behind it. And then I realized, like, the ground was, like, sandy. There were no tracks of this thing going in. And there were, like, two doors. There was a door I came in. There was another door where it had gone out. And then I noticed there was this huge tree in the center with these vines that had wrapped around it like a teepee. So I'm sitting there trying to figure out where this thing went, you know. So like I say, there are no tracks. And then I go through the second door, and I'm a quarter mile away. And the reason I know that was because I lived in the black neighborhood, and where I reappeared was in the white neighborhood. So I bought some candy just to make sure I wasn't nuts. And I came back, went through the door, and I'm back there at the tree, and I'm looking at it, and I just got this really eerie feeling that I wasn't by myself. And I left. I went back a few days later. None of that stuff existed.
Wow. But that fox figure sounds like, I can't remember the exact name, but it was like the Loki spirit.
Yeah.
The trickster.
Yeah. I've heard stuff like that. But like this was when I was a child, right? And I would try to explain this to my friends, you know. And I used to call them the little doctors because it was just a few years ago, a full memory of that experience came back to me.
You're talking about the grays now, right?
The experience of the bedroom in the bedroom.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, so
yep, everything. It was like there was a memory block given to me or whatever. You know what I mean? And I remember a friend of mine had come over to the house, and him and I were talking, and I told him that these little doctors had come, and they had taken me on the ship. They had stuck these needles in my head, and they had shown me the future, and that we all needed to change, or we were going to destroy the world. And I remember telling him, I have to change. And he asked me, he said, well, don't tell anybody else that, because there were other people in the neighborhood that also had those experiences, and some of them went nuts. They actually went nuts. And, again, it's like a secret you have to hold, right? You can't be letting other people know this stuff because of how they're going to react to it. Mm-hmm. And so I kept this a secret for a long time, except with certain friends that I really trusted. And then it was, there were times I'd be sitting on the edge of my bed watching TV, and I would just black out. I would just black out. And the one that was really profound was that I blacked out, and what I remember is seeing myself in this huge temple, and there was a priesthood. There were like these two priesthoods in Atlantis. I knew it was Atlantis. I had no idea how I knew about Atlantis, but I knew I was an Atlantean. And I'm sitting in this priesthood thing, and I'm on, it's like they divided us up into groups. There was this guy talking on the podium, and the people that I was sitting with was against him. The people on the other side of the room were for him. And then like a collective, we realized we had been set up. That wherever it was we were trying to stop had been activated. This was like a ploy. And then I remember us all jumping up as a group and running to this room. And as we're going to this room, I see this thing that looks like a telescope set on something that looks like a tripod, but it was hovering off of the earth, like magnetically. And then to our left were these consoles that had these gauges on it. And we all rushed over to those consoles, and we were looking at those gauges. And then we realized we would have to be born during the age of Aquarius to straighten out what we had done during that period of time. And I did all kinds of research on Lemuria, Atlantis, and all this stuff, you know. But it wasn't until I met Ram, who told us about the firing of the crystal into the atmosphere. They called the Great Deluge. And that's is what I believed I saw. I saw that because I've had three memories of that.
So
you know, after that time.
So the big flood we had 12,000-13,000 years ago wasn't accidental.
No. No, but we were very, the Atlanteans were very aggressive and very warlike. I remember that first one. And then another one, I was looking at it from the spiritual world, I guess. I wasn't in embodiment at that time. I was actually looking down through the dimensions and seeing what my people were doing, and they were wanted to attack China. They had taken this same instrument and aimed it at the ground. They were going to blow a hole through the earth because we had flying ships. We were going to take our ships down through that hole, come up on the other side, and attack China. These are my memories. Okay? This is my story and the memories that I remember. And again, I've had to try to figure this stuff out all of my life. You know, what the heck is going on? You know, what am I being shown? I thought I was nuts.
Yeah.
You know?
So and, so then you, the path that you've taken as far as starting into the shamanism and the Rosicrucian order and that sort of thing all was an attempt to try to understand these things that happened earlier in your childhood?
Yeah. You know, like out-of-the-body experiences, like you asked me a question a while back, what I think consciousness is, right? I think from my own experiences, we are all how do I say it? When you say consciousness, okay, I can only give you an example. When I was like 16, I asked for God to kill me. And I was in my bed, I was praying, and then all of a sudden my body just started vibrating. And the next thing you know, I'm outside of my body. I could see myself kneeling in the bed. I went outside the house. I went outside the earth. And I went to a place where there was like no more planets, stars, moons, like a void. And then all of a sudden I was surrounded by this light, this beautiful white light and this beautiful music. And it said, if you come with me now, you can never go back to earth again. The reason that people suffer is because of ignorance. And then it showed me my life, what they call like a past life review.
Right.
I saw my whole life, and I saw things that I had done in my life that, according to the Bible, were evil, and I deserved to die. And I said, okay, if I'm looking at this, whoever this voice is I'm talking to also see it, and I think it's God, and I want to come back to earth. Maybe I can straighten myself out. You know, it was a trippy existence as a child, having these kinds of experiences. And then somehow or the other, I saw an advertisement for the Rosicrucians, and I wrote them a letter, and I told them that I wanted to know why I was having these experiences. And they sent me a letter back, and in the letter it stated that you were a student of the ancient schools in the past, and you had opened up certain areas of your mind, and you're here to come back into this lifetime to go further than you did in those lifetimes, which was like a relief. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I enrolled as a student of the Rosicrucian Order because I was getting some answers. I couldn't find it in the Christian world. You know what I mean?
Really, Billy? You couldn't find it in the Christian world? I guess that's why none of us are Christians anymore. Well, speaking of us three.
Yeah. It's not putting them down. Some of them are very beautiful people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there are other answers than just having faith, you know, or putting your belief in some savior or power outside of yourself. I really didn't understand it. I just know that I was having these experiences. No one had an answer for me. I was on my own personal search. I went to college because I wanted to know why the world was messed up. That's why I went to school. I didn't care about the degrees. I wanted to know what was happening with me. Why was I having these past life memories? Why were these beings coming to me? You know, and that was my answer as a child.
So you said you wanted to find this stuff out for yourself, and I see that as something that everybody has to do for themselves, is to seek out these answers. It's yep. Nothing. It's nothing that anybody can give you.
Nope.
You cannot go to or Pastor John and say, Pastor John, give me the answer, and him give you a little book or tell you what the answer is, and that be right, because each one of us is a different soul, and each one of us has a different path, and each one of us has a different truth.
Mm-hmm.
So to be able to reach those truths that have your own truth, you have to seek that for yourself.
Oh, yeah. I think we're all on an individual journey.
Mm.
We're all individual. Because I did go to the preachers, and I did go to my Sunday school teachers, and I would ask them questions, and they would say, it's not for you to know right now. You have to wait until you die, and then all answers will be revealed. Well, I had studied the Bible enough to know the Bible said, knock, and the door shall be open. Ask, and your questions will be answered. Well,
right.
I'm a knocking, and I'm an answering.
Yeah.
I want some answers.
Yeah.
You know? So on my individual journey, it became paramount that I find my own truth, that I find my own answers, because mine may be totally, like Tom was saying, we're all different. We're all unique. We're all very unique. Mm-hmm. And I don't think any one of our experiences would be similar because of our uniqueness. Because what I finally came to the conclusion of, to me as a child, God was an energy. Because how can one being everywhere at one time and know all things? Is he black? Is he white? Is he yellow? Is he brown? Is he tall? Is he fat? Is he short? Is he a Buddhist? Is he a Taoist? you know, through the eyes of a child. You know, God is all these things. I said, well, how can that be? It can only be an energy.
That's,
and we are all souls and daughters of that energy.
That's a very advanced thinking for a child.
That's what I had to come up with. Actually, that seemed logical.
Yeah, well, you, at that time you sounded a lot more logical than the adults. For a child to come up with something like that.
I guess part of that is because my mom, at the time, my aunt, she was really my great aunt. She was a school teacher, so she allowed me to study. I could read anything I wanted to read, and I really love sciences. You know, I still love science. And then you learn about energy, and, you know, it's energy. I don't know. It's just me. You know, that's the conclusion I came to, that God was an energy, and that energy was everywhere and all pervasive. And that I'm made in his energy image because I am a part of that energy. That's what lives in each one of us.
Now, you've had several experiences with later with beings or other creatures of this planet. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Which creatures are you talking about?
I'm trying to remember a story you
the
told
werewolf,
me. That
you said. You're about the werewolf. Later on is werewolf. I mean, I remember, you've heard about the Anunnaki?
Yes.
Okay. One of my memories is that we were almost like Bigfoot at the time. We were these big, hairy creatures, but we were highly telepathic. Highly. And these beings showed up, and I remember I was standing around with a group of us, and there was this really young one with us, and we were watching them take some of our brothers and sisters off, and this young one asked, what are they going to do with us? And we said, they're going to change your hair. Basically, they were going to make these bodies that we now have, right? Basically, that's what's happening. And these beings, they're beautiful. They're beautiful. And I saw myself sitting in a chair, like in a laboratory, and there was one lady in specific that was taking semen from me. And behind her were like six or seven other beings. And she said, we're going to make seven beings from you. And I said, I don't want seven. I want 12. And that kind of shocked her. I saw the look on her face. She was just like shocked that I can even come up with a concept of these numbers. And that's one group I saw. And then later on in my life, after I came here, I used to be real heavy into meditation. And in one of my experiences, I'm in the city, and we have these weapons that look like hollow tubes. And the mission is to get everybody into the city, into the stadium. That's our mission. And there's like a war going on. There's these huge ships over our heads shooting these light balls at us. You know, and they made these sounds. Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. And you got these little things in your hand, and you're shooting at them. Doosh, 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 doosh. And then we got everybody into this thing like a football stadium. We got all these people in there. And then all of a sudden, this huge mothership shows up. This shows in, shines down this light beam, and this pulls everybody up into the craft and leaves.
Now, is this a past life experience you're remembering? Or?
It could be, from what I've experienced so far in my life, time, space, and distance, everything, past, present, and future, is all now.
Yes.
It's all now. And I've tried to contemplate some of it. I've seen other worlds where these guys were fighting these guys in these huge, I mean, these ships go from horizon to horizon. They're huge. And these guys were hiding behind these rocks fighting these beings. And he looked at me and he says, hey, we hear you're having the same problem on your world. How are you people resolving it? And I remember telling him, what we have come to is that you must have a parley. You and them have to come to terms. And I was taken off of that world. And then I had memories of being on other worlds where there's nothing but women. But the women are being attacked. And I was there with a group of about 9 men. And our mission was to go there and help that world. And we were standing at the top of this mountain. I was like the leader. And there were like, it was like a formation. 2 guys were behind me, 3 guys behind them. It's like numerical. And we're standing on this cliff. I'm looking down. I'm looking at all these women. And there was one there that I really loved. And I didn't want to leave her. And my commander comes up and said, "You know we can't stand here. Stay here. We have to leave this world." And I remember like falling backward. You know what those sarcophagus look like in Egypt?
Yeah.
When we fell back, we fell into those things. And then when we were propelled off of that planet, I was able to look back and I could see 9 sarcophagi laying at the top of this mountain.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it sounds like you got some of your, well, a lot of your even off-world lives, memories of your off-world lives.
Yeah, that's what I'm beginning to think, too. I'm really, remember at the rant, that lady, Dolores Campbell?
I think I remember Dolores Cannon, yeah.
Cannon, you remember her?
Yeah, yes.
And she said that we had been everything, and that there was a call that went out that the Earth was in trouble, and beings from all over, I guess the universe,
right,
came here to help. I remember those classrooms. I was with one group and I had graduated and I was getting ready to come, but I was able to see the classrooms of other beings that had chosen to come here that were making those choices.
And so those beings were being trained, like you're trained before you come here?
Yeah. Yeah. Life here is totally different than it is on some of those other worlds. Totally different. A lot of these, I think the majority out there are humanoid, but then you have other beings out there that don't look anything like us, and they have their own agendas. But we came here for a reason, and that was to elevate the consciousness of this planet.
And how are we doing that?
Okay, it's like what you guys are doing right now. You're bringing information to people. Okay? Jay-Z is doing it. Rampa's doing it. There are a lot of people out here that are really waking up that there's something bigger than what we have been programmed to think. You know what I mean? I think the whole educational system has been programmed to keep us vibrating consciously within a certain frequency just to support what we see around us every day. And this is falling apart. And then there are people out here like me, like you, Ramon, like you, Tom, that are having these experiences and say, there's something else other than this. We are not being told the whole truth. So when you are able to do like what you guys are doing, to bring this stuff forward for other people to hear, you are affecting consciousness. You are elevating consciousness. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You are helping consciousness expand itself into something greater than what my parents grew up with and what their parents grew up with. We are slowly beginning to wake up to the fact that there may be something more than this everyday stuff.
So do you think we'll reach the point of critical mass?
Oh, yeah. You can't help it. I've learned that from my elders. How did that start? Okay. Back around 1989, I came out here from Ohio, and I got myself a little business license. I was selling Native American jewelry, artifacts, whatever, at Tacoma Middle School. And when I got there, early. I was married. I had 2 stepkids at the time. We got there an hour early. I didn't know anything about it. I just wanted to do it. And my mentor, Ken Littlefish, showed up with his family. And they wanted to know where the restrooms were. So I was there earlier, so I knew where it was, and I showed it to him. We started talking. And he said, "I really like you, and I really like your family. why don't we put our tables together at this powwow? I said, okay, fine. So we got together, we partied, you know, powwow. And then he invited me to come to some sweats up in Port Angeles. That's where he lived at the time. And I went, and it was like, wow, I found another piece of myself. I don't know if you guys ever been to a sweat lodge, but it's an awesome experience. It was like I found another piece of myself. And about 2 or 3 weeks after that, I'm living in like a 40-foot-long trailer, maybe about 8 feet, 10 feet wide. My kids are sleeping. My wife is sleeping. I wake up in the middle of the night, and there's a grizzly bear sitting at the foot of my bed. A grizzly bear. I knew it was a grizzly bear because of the hump on the shoulder. I've seen enough pictures of grizzly bears and knew that was a grizzly bear, right? And it's just sitting there, staring at me. And I shook my head, I stomped my feet, I pinched myself, and I listened. I can hear my children's breathing. I looked at my wife. She was breathing. And I was looking at the walls. There were no holes in the wall. There were no holes in the floor. I'm wondering, how in the heck did a grizzly bear get in my trailer? You know, for real, what the heck is going on? You know, so I went to my mentor. I said, what is happening? He said that the spirit is looking for you, the spirit. And it knows you, and you know it. And it's going to pick the time and the place of your reunion. And then somewhere down the road, Rampa has a book called UFOs and the Nature of Reality. I don't know if you guys ever heard of that one.
Yes, I have.
And in there, he says, if you believe your spirit guide is the great bear, the sign of the killer whale, or the eagle, you have been contacted by extraterrestrials. That the Native Americans have been in contact with what we call star elders, star people, for a long time. So even though they use these images, you are still dealing with extraterrestrials.
That's very interesting because right before I called you earlier today, I had a big golden eagle flying above my house right outside my window. I was sitting here at my computer. I have a window right behind my monitor.
Wow, that's awesome.
And I was looking out the window, and there was a big golden eagle just circling around right up above it. I even got my binoculars out and took a good close look at him.
Yeah, there are no accidents.
I knew there was some message coming through. I get downloads. So
that answers my question because I saw in I don't know if it was a hawk or an eagle in New York City, and of course we rarely don't see any, but I had a small little balcony. 10-15 years ago, and this eagle, or I think it was a hawk, came and sat there in the morning, and I just looked at it and I was like surprised. So continue.
Yeah, and so what I've learned from natives is like, how do I explain this one?
No, well, you were talking about the grizzly.
Yeah. And we are not alone on this world. And I never even contemplated me having like grizzly medicine or bear medicine or anything like that, ever. That was not a part of my consciousness. That was something that was brought to me, you know, as a gift. Because one of the reasons I'm here is because... You ever heard of a Yuwipi ceremony?
Only from you during the summer.
Yeah, the Lakota people, the Sioux people, they're known as Yuwipi people because they have the ability to call up spirits. They can actually call these things to them in ceremony. You know, I've gone to ceremony and I had spirits touch me, talk to me, poke me, scream at me. In some ceremonies, I'm sitting there and I'm singing, and there's other spirits singing with me. Nobody else hears them. And then, we are really going to have to go multidimensional. You exist on all levels. It's just like you have a physical body. Above that body, you have an astral body. Above that level, you have a mental-emotional body. Above that, you got all these bodies, and each one of those bodies connect to a dimension. If you are really open, you can go into those dimensions, and you can meet these beings. Or they can come here and meet you, which is basically what has happened to me. One day I was out in Montana. I had bought myself a 4-inch refractor. I was getting interested in astronomy. And it was at the time that Jupiter was the closest it had ever been. That was back around 97, 98. And I would get out of my house, lived on the Flathead Reservation. I would take my telescope out, like, say, 6, 7 o'clock in the evening. About 9 o'clock, Jupiter was directly behind my house. I could look at Jupiter, and I could see 4 of the moons. And my stepson and my stepdaughter, I told them that I was going to, you know, have them stay up late one night because they were going to school at the time. I said, okay, I'm going to set this up, and you guys can come out and take a look at it. And they did. But then I was noticing over in to my left side, as I'm looking at Jupiter, to my left, there was this yellow-looking planet. And I swore I could see the rings around it. I thought it was Saturn. So I said, I'm going to take a look at this one day. And then a friend of mine, she had daughters. She had 2 girls. They wanted to take a look at Jupiter. I said, okay, just come by the house one day, and I'll set this up, and your girls can see it. But that same day, I remember, and again, UFOs and the nature of reality, Rampa said that if you want contact, just go outside, sit by yourself, imagine the triad. The triad is a code. It means 32. And empty your mind and focus on the triad, and these beings will hear you, and they will come, right? Well, I did that. And then I forgot about it because my friend showed up. And then they left, and I was looking at what I thought was Saturn. I said, okay, I had promised my kids I was going to allow them to look at this. So I got them up, set my telescope up. I aimed it at what I thought was Saturn. I'm talking about a 4-inch field. You know what I mean? When you align that star into the center of that telescope, it's going to take it almost 30, 40 seconds before it moves off the field of view, right?
Right.
And I'm sitting there, and I'm watching my son. He got his hands folded behind his back. He just leans over. He looks. He said, Billy, that thing moved. I said, there's no way that thing can move. He said, it moved. It's not there. And I had to think about it for a little bit. I'm sitting here, and I'm looking at him. He didn't bump it. He didn't kick it. He didn't touch it. I said, okay, I'll line it up again. I lined that sucker up, and, man, it went off. It went out of field of view. And I stood up. And it looked like a meteor was coming towards you. You can actually see the tail of the meteor. And then all of a sudden, this thing stopped. It was a solid white light, and there was this solid white disk. I'm saying about 15, 20 miles in length, about 3 miles away from us. Me, my wife, my stepson, my stepdaughter, we all sat there and looked at this thing, completely freaking silent, going from east, from west to east, completely silent, 3 miles away. Well, that night, I was taken on a craft, and there was this being sitting there. He had a solid white robe on, blonde hair, curly, like Romans. Beautiful marble skin, beautiful. And telepathically, he said, this is a council of exalted and ascended beings. And I remember looking down this table, and every type of being you can think about was sitting at this table. But the one that grabbed my attention was this guy that had the face of a bat. He was wearing a green and gold toga, but he had the face of a bat, was sitting there staring at me. And my attention was being drawn between the guy that looked like a Roman and this bat-faced guy. And, well, you know, whether or not this is real, I know what I experienced.
Did you have a chance to talk to them? What did they say? I mean, I don't think they stopped by just to say hi.
All they told me was that it was a council of intergalactic and ascended beings. And a lot of times, in the earlier parts, when I was with my wife, what would happen was that you would smell the stuff that smelled like lithium, this gas, and we had cats. The cats would disappear. They would completely disappear out of the house. You couldn't find a cat anywhere. And then you would, like, go into an altered state. Automatically, you would go into an altered state. And that's when they would come, and they would take you. There's been a couple of times I woke up in the middle of the night, and I seen them. Let's see. This one time, she was sleeping. I was sleeping. I woke up, and there was this being sitting on her. And I'm looking at this being, and I consciously want to hit it. And I'm taking my arm, but then I realized off my peripheral vision, there's this being dressed like in a robe. He's blue-colored. And as I'm moving my hand, I get hit with something. It's like falling down a deep hole. But I was still conscious enough. I could still feel my body. I was still going to try to hit this thing and knock it off my wife. And then I heard this being saying, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" And I got hit again, and I just went deeper. And I came out of it. This was 80-something. Jesus, dude.
So have you, what kind of a messages have you received from them, though? I mean, have you received any message that you can attribute to that council definitively?
We are advancing, and we are going to such a place that they can't mess with us anymore. An example would be before I went to Montana, I was taking on a gray craft, and I could actually see the craft. I could say in front of you, if you look right in front of you, there were these two beings, I would say about 6-7 feet tall. They kind of looked like the grays. They still got the big heads, the slender bodies. But in between them, there was this tripod with this crystal ball, and they had their hands on the ball. They were completely silent. They don't crack jokes. They don't talk to you. And I look to my right, and there's this female that's coming from my right, and she's shape-shifting. She's shape-shifting into all the women that I ever was in love with, even in your mind. She's shape-shifting. And then telepathically she said, we aren't going to do this to you anymore. We're going to show you what we've been doing with you all of these years. And then she retained her normal form, but she was dark-skinned, dark hair. She still had the big eyes as the grays. She was still short. And the next thing I know, I don't know if I walked, if I floated, but we moved through this ship. And then she took me into this room, and I was in this room, and there were two little girls. One was about maybe 1-2 years old, laying on her side, pink dress, white socks, black shoes. She rolled over, she looked at me, she was sucking her thumb, but she had my facial features, my bone structure, but she still had a lot of their characteristics. And standing next to her was another girl, I'll say about 7, 8, 9, 10, something like that. Different dress, but looking identical, and my bone structure, but most of their features. She said, "This is what we've been doing with you all of these years. We won't be doing this to you anymore." So I began to understand that the Grays had been coming here, taking our genetics and taking it back to their world to improve their species. And then there are other beings here who are, some of them are just watchers. They're just here observing. Some of them are here, just like I remember, have memories of the reptilians. Some of those guys are really nasty. You don't want to deal with them. You don't want to deal with them. Not at all. There are some here that are living inside the earth. Some of them look like Native Americans, and some of them look like black people, but they have straight hair. They don't have curly hair. They have straight hair, but they're really dark skinned. They have their own agendas. Some of them are here. They're also breeding with us to elevate their species. And there are some here, just like I went down into the earth, and you know, like the Bermuda Triangle?
Yeah.
Okay, there are beings down there. those are doors. And they have actually saved some of those people that have crashed. And it's not like here. They don't keep them with guards and all that other kind of stuff. There's people down there that have completely lost it. And they're completely loved and allowed to be. They are on their own journey. And their journey is eventually they're going to be leaving here. And the earth is going to be turned over to us.
Are you talking about the people in the inner earth or?
Yeah, in inner earth. Yeah. There are all kinds of species down there. There's not just one or two groups. There's bunches of them.
So,
and basically it's our turn. Some of them have been like our guardians and our protectors and stuff like that. But we're getting ready to graduate.
So we're about at the top of the hour here, Billy. So okay. About to graduate is a very interesting point. Kind of like to expand on that a little bit, if you would. What do you mean by graduate?
Some of us are ready in consciousness to regain our full power. Instead of giving it away to governments and religions and all that stuff, some of us are really ready to accept the full responsibility of who we are. You know, I don't know how to explain that.
So
some of us...
No, I personally know exactly what you're talking about. Do you think it's a matter of time for us to, for that graduation day, quote unquote, to come, or are we just biding our time until that time appears, or are people being cherry picked out of this mess
okay,
when they're ready?
No. How do I say this?
Is that when we reach the critical mass?
Do you
the
know
graduation
Miha? Do you know
yes.
Miha? Okay. He was giving
Miha,
a talk one time.
Miha Ledwith.
Yes, Ledwith.
Yeah. He was giving a talk one time on the Mayan prophecy, right? Here in Yelm, he was doing a DVD. And he said that the Mayans did not see 2012 as a time of dread and fear. It is that the whole universe is evolving. This being that we call God, or what you want to call the void, or whatever term you want to give it, is giving us a great gift. We are going to be wakened up, those that are ready. We are going to be given a great gift. A spiritual awakening is getting ready to happen. I talked to Native American elders. I asked a friend of mine one time, I said, what do you see when you see? He said, Billy, the earth is wrapped in a giant cocoon. And this beautiful animal is getting ready to be born. And she's trying to heal herself. And she's sending off all these healing energies. And some people are able to accept the changes and be willing to change and adopt. Some people can't. He says some of those guys are going to go nuts. They're going to start killing other people. They're going to turn on themselves. But he said that most people are nothing more than ticks on a dog. She's going to shake you off. She's going to shake you off because she is going to evolve. And I'm saying that there are some of us that are ready to evolve with her.
So is there anything special we have to do to evolve, or we just
be the
sit
best
there
person you can, love, allow, be. That's it. Is that simple? Just love and allow and respect all life.
Well, that's it. So,
yeah,
I have to agree with that 100%. Okay, well, we're at the end of the show here, so. Billy, I really want to thank you for coming on and sharing your story with us. And I want everybody to remember that condemnation without investigation is the height of ignorance. And I hope these stories that Billy has shared has opened some eyes maybe. And maybe some people out there have seen some similarities in their own lives that they can now realize that, hey, I'm not the only one.
And you're not crazy, even though no matter what they tell you.
You're not crazy, you know. So, anyways, what do you got, Ramon?
I was going to say, make sure you check out our website. We always update, like, any news we can find. Our video links, we always also update that as soon as we can find something to put. And our galleries. And also, if you want to receive emails from us, just sign up to our mailing list. And if you take an amazing picture of a UFO or anything you can find on the internet that you feel like it's worth, email it to us as well.
Absolutely.
That also includes any like video links that you think people should share. Email it to us.
Yeah, give us some feedback. Let us know what you're thinking about how we're doing with this show. If you want us to, if you feel you want somebody specific on the show, send us a request. I mean, let us know. Also, while you're checking out the website, you can see our upcoming guests, and we do have a spot on there to ask a question of the guests. So fill out that form, ask your own question, and we will relay it to them during our interviews.
Hey, Tom, how much time we got? I just remember we had a question from a listener.
Well, we've got about a minute, if you can get it out that quick.
All right. I'm going to make it really quick. So, since you've been a shaman, there's a rumor that shamans go into the astral world, and sometimes they have battle with each other in the astral world. Mm-hmm. Have you experienced anything like that?
Yes. Yes, okay. Because you're dealing with a duality, okay? And there's some people out here who are shamans that have the gift, and they are only looking out for themselves. I asked my mentor one time, how do I know if what I'm doing is right? He says, if what you are doing is only asking for something for yourself, it's probably something you don't want to do. Because we are here to help each other. We are here to elevate this world. It's not about selfishness.
And with that being said, we're getting out of here.
All right. Thanks for listening.
See you next week. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, guys.